This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and together with me are Lim Soo Ann and Dashun Johan. So as always, we have two stories for you today. First up, the Selangor State Government has placed a ban on smoking and drinking in parks and playgrounds, which is admittedly great news. But how will they enforce it properly and will it be effective? That's what we're going to be discussing.
Yep. And for our second story, the 81-year-old Sir Ian McKellen has been cast in an upcoming production of Hamlet, a character that is thought to be around 30 years old, but is often debated as being even younger. So we discuss the idea of age-blind casting when it comes to theatre and cinema. Could it work, or is it suspension of disbelief taken too far?
And on that note, we are asking you on Twitter, you know, does the age of the actor matter when playing a role? So your options are yes, no, or it depends on the role. And you can share your thoughts with us by tweeting us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So that will come up after in the second half of the hour. But first, on the Selangor smoking ban.
That's right. So on 14th of July 2020, the Selangor State Government decided to ban alcohol, cigarettes, which includes e-cigarettes and vape, throughout playgrounds and recreational parks in the state, effective immediately. So the announcement was made by the state's Public Transportation and New Village Development Exco, Ng Zihan, at a press conference in Dewan Negeri Selangor. And he said, quote-unquote, with the amendment of Undang-Undang Kecil Taman 2005, the state of Selangor under the leadership of Pakatan Harapan will be the first state in Malaysia to ban drinking alcohol and cigarettes in playgrounds and recreational parks.
So if you're wondering why this law was enacted, the minister said that the people of Malaysia are becoming increasingly health conscious, and considering that playgrounds and recreational parks are also visited by children, senior citizens and so on, the state government decided that it was the right move, especially when we take into account the current COVID-19 pandemic. So Ng said that spot checks would be conducted by local councils and the people could make complaints to the authorities if there is any violation of these rules. The maximum fine for an offender is set at 1,000 ringgit.
Yep. And just like Sharmila mentioned earlier, I think this is admittedly a good move. I think most of us do agree on that. After all, there's simply no reason for people to smoke and drink at parks and playgrounds, you know, as fun as that sounds to some people. You know, it's because it's a place meant for people to exercise, for kids to play. So the law is good, I welcome it, but the question is, will the law be effective? Will people who previously smoke and drink at parks stop doing so because of the ban? And will the authorities be able to enforce this law effectively? I mean, are there going to be cops, rondaing every park in every neighbourhood in Selangor at 2 a.m? Mm. After all, despite there being a nationwide ban on smoking in eateries, every now and then you still find people smoking in these restaurants. So what we're going to do today is look at this on two different levels, right? First, from the perspective of the effectiveness of state laws on behavioural changes, and secondly, enforcement by the government.
Mm. So to help us with the first part of that, we have on the line with us Dr. Faisal Iswan Mustafa, consultant public health physician, as well as the deputy director of the non-communicable disease section of the Disease Control Division at the Ministry of Health. So welcome to the show, Dr. Faisal. And before we really get into it, you know, I just want to know, what are your thoughts are on this new law? Do you think it's necessary and important?
We have to be clear in our mind. What's the main objective? What's the main purpose for banning, which I'm going to refer to as the intervention? In terms of the public health perspective, it is important for us to consider the main objective. So, for example, let's talk about tobacco first. Just before I answer that question, let's talk about we wanted to make the restaurants as smoke-free areas. So the main purpose is not really to stop people from smoking, right? It's firstly to reduce the exposure of the non-smokers who are at the restaurants to the secondhand effect of smoking. That's the main purpose, one. And the second main purpose is to denormalize. You know, you see it often enough, it becomes part of the scenario, right? The normal landscape. So we would like to be able to denormalize smoking. Kids, for example, learn from what they see, not from what we see. So if we transfer that to now the ban in public parks, which, by the way, is already a gazetted area under the current regulation, So, I mean, what they're doing is really, you know, emphasizing what's already there. So let's focus more on tobacco. So it is, again, the same principle, not stopping people from smoking. If you're a smoker, you can continue to smoke, really, but not in the public parks. So that's for tobacco, and by extension for vape as well. So fine, you don't get the smoke from vaping, but you still want to denormalize what is being seen as a something normal. And alcohol, you would like to, I suppose, you don't get the exposure itself, but people do, you know, do drink a bit too much. People, it is possible to get drunk, and your behavior when you are under the influence of alcohol, you are again basically exposing another, you know, population to the bad effects, yeah, the effects of alcohol, and also about denormalization of behavior. We hope that, you know, it is no longer acceptable to drink in public as opposed to acceptable. From the public health perspective, again, if you look at the impact of alcohol and smoking, vape with nicotine, you're talking about addiction. And for some people, yes, you can see the impact of addiction for this substance, which is detrimental to public health.
Mm. But how effective do you think this law will be when it comes to causing behavioral changes among people in Selangor who, you know, some of them prior to this may smoke and drink in public parks?
One of the things that we need to consider when we talk about behavior change is, firstly, we need to talk about awareness and knowledge. That's one, right? What's the awareness and knowledge of the population about the health impact? And also why we are doing that in particular intervention. Secondly, you do not change behavior just because you have the awareness and knowledge. You need a supporting environment. I think the COVID-19 has shown us a perfect example where, despite all the PSAs and advisories and recommendations and daily press statements, people still really don't care. Well, you needed the enforcement component to limit movements, to get people to comply to SOPs. I can't really answer to you why people don't follow what makes perfect sense. So lacking of common sense, I don't know. So I would personally, you know, congratulate the Selangor State Government for taking this initiative to enforce a ban for the use of tobacco, vape and making alcohol in public parks.
Then, is there a difference in effectiveness between top-down messaging and the community or state putting their foot down and saying, no, we do not accept this anymore?
We talk about tobacco and also alcohol. These are, I would say, complex issues. There are many aspects that we need to consider. You mentioned about top-down and bottom-up. It is not one or the other. When you talk about complex issues, you need multiple strategies, multiple approaches, and these are complementary to each other. So, for example, PSA is one method of increasing awareness and knowledge of the issue. However, just by being more aware or more knowledgeable doesn't mean you would change your behavior. So COVID-19, again, is a perfect example. I think if you ask the Malaysian population, is it important to keep your physical distance? Is it important to wear face masks? Is it important to wash your hands? I would say, by and large, they would say yes. But then the next question, do you actually practice? Then you get that different level of answer. So I would say the same thing. PSAs, advisories, announcement, is important to raise awareness and knowledge. But at the same time, acknowledging that behavior change is complex, you would need to create an environment that promotes that behavioral change. And one of the things that modify the environment is a policy to modify the environment. In this case, it is a regulation. However, you did mention earlier about effectiveness. A law or regulation is only as effective as enforcement.
Dr. Faisal, before we let you go, just one final question. Do you think it's enough for the authorities to play their part, or do we as a society have a role in this as well?
I think firstly, we need to talk about our mentality. as Malaysians, as a member of the society? Do we have a first world mentality about our health and our environment in general, or still a third world mentality? Because when you talk about enforcement, if you just use the concept that only enforce, that means us as a member of society, we do not want to take responsibility for our own health, for the health of our population, for the health of our family, our local community, then it's very difficult to move forward on any issue, not just health, any and every issue. So, you know, the example, for example, about smoke-free eating areas, right? Restaurants. If you expect only the enforcement officer to enforce, that means you as Joe Public, I don't want to create a ruckus. I don't want to create trouble. I hate cigarette smoke. I'm going to keep quiet. You know, I'm not going to complain against that person sitting next to me who's smoking. Because we're just hoping that, you know, the health inspector will come along. Or, you know, it's difficult. But you need the law and regulation as the first step. That needs to be in place. Then we need to talk more about serious enforcement. And it is not just about top-down. You mentioned about top-down and bottom-up. So we need a combination. You need enforcement. But at the same time, we need to build capacity of us people, including myself, including yourself, to take on more responsibility, that civic mindedness or, you know, civic responsibility, not to our community, to our society, for the general health, for us to be able to effectively change our environment and ultimately denormalize a behavior that shouldn't be acceptable, but we sort of resign to be as acceptable, like smoking in restaurants.
Thank you, Dr. Faisal. That was Dr. Faisal Izzuan Mustafa, consultant, public health physician and deputy director of the non-communicable disease section of the disease control division at the Ministry of Health. So next up we have YB Rajiv Rishakaran, member of the Selangor State Legislative Assembly. Hello, Rajiv. So let's talk about enforcement. The Selangor State Government has said that authorities will be conducting regular spot checks and anyone who breaks the new law will be fined RM1,000. Can you give us a little bit more detail on how the state government is planning to enforce this?
The Selangor government will enforce this through the local councils, and the local councils already have their enforcement teams. Now, enforcement teams are already on the ground for complaints with regards to rowdiness in the parks when people drink excessively, or, you know, when people get rowdy after drinking. And they are already attending to complaints of this nature for years. And the constraint that they have is they can advise people to stop, advise people to disperse, but this advice is not backed up with a force of law. And that is why I'm one of the state assemblymen, among many other state assemblymen, who pushed for such a change, and I'm happy to see such a change in law. So now when these enforcement officers attend to these complaints, they are backed up by law, in which they can issue summonses to the people who violate the rules of drinking in the park.
But I ask this question because while the smoking law was previously implemented, today in many restaurants we can still see people smoking occasionally, not all the time, but it's there. I think when it comes to this, the no smoking and drinking in parks law, it might be even more difficult to enforce as people usually do this late at night on the wee hours of the morning. There's a park or two in every neighbourhood, so is enforcing this law even feasible?
There will always be people who would try to break the law. And with regards to your example of those people smoking in restaurants, I think many of the listeners can agree that it has reduced drastically since the law was introduced. Many smokers have abided by the rules. Of course, as always, there will be people who would choose to break the law rather than abide by the rules. Now, when it comes to drinking in parks, now, especially with what you mentioned at 2 a.m., this is when it's most critical. People are typically not drinking in the parks in the middle of the day. It tends to happen after midnight. And it gets noisy and rowdy, and it causes a nuisance to the neighbours. And neighbors don't keep quiet when these nuisances are caused. They will call the police, they will call their local authority, they will call their assemblyman. And this is where it's high time we have the ability to enforce when these complaints come in. So even if we don't eradicate every single person from drinking in the park, but regular nuisance that is reported, that is known of, and you know, those hot spots where these things happen can be dealt with. Parties that happen at 3 a.m. that cause the neighbors to not be able to sleep can be, you know, put to a stop.
So what do you say to the people who might, you know, turn around and say, well, I only drink and smoke in the park at 2 a.m. when there are no families and kids around, so why would that be wrong?
Because the vast majority of people who are drinking at 2 a.m. in the park are causing nuisance rather than doing so very quietly. I've not come across someone who does drink in the park quietly. So you can still drink at home at 2 a.m. You can still drink at at a pub, restaurant at 2 a.m. But I think we need to have some limitations and this nuisance that arises from these drunken, rowdy gatherings in the parks at night in neighborhoods which should be peaceful and quiet at that hour of the day. It's something that we need to deal with. And so we need laws to deal with it. I think that in the balance of scheme of things, dealing with the nuisance in this particular case is rather important, and the law should come in for that purpose.
Thank you, Rajiv. That was YB Rajiv Vishakaran, member of the Selangor State Legislative Assembly. What do you guys think? I mean, I know growing up, certainly, it was quite a common sight. I grew up in KL, not in Selangor, to see people drinking and smoking in parks, especially late at night. And it was always viewed as something, sort of, what can we do? That kind of thing. Do you think that this will be something that will end up being good in the long run?
I think
it would, because like Rajiv was saying, now there is a law for people to go around and say, well, you're not supposed to do this, versus previously, you know, if people in the neighborhood happen to see people who are smoking or drinking in the park, whether it's during the daytime or at night, you know, you can't really do much about it, versus now there is sort of that legal act there to back up your complaint for you to call the police and say, look, there are people who are disrupting the peace in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I think the disruption of peace is the key there, right? Because, you know, it's like Rajiv said earlier, it's not so much, when it comes to alcohol, even Dr. Faisal said, it's not like secondhand smoking or anything. You cannot transfer that or like harm people just by drinking. But it's this thing where you gather at night and it's like Rajiv said, people are not sitting there quietly having a nice little picnic with their alcohol. Yeah. It's always, a lot of the times it's, you know, a big group of people, and then once they reach a certain level of intoxication, it gets rowdy and people are trying to sleep, you know, babies in the neighborhood and all that might wake up. So that's when it becomes a problem. So I think the law is good, but it's about, you know, how they're going to implement it. I think what they have so far, what they said so far is pretty solid. You know, when you can call and they say people will come and take a look at the situation. I hope that, you know, that because it's always the situation isn't the law itself. The law always isn't the problem. It's how they enforce it.
Yeah. And just to extend that a little further, I would like to also perhaps see how it will be implemented and enforced, particularly when it comes to smoking. And I know, you know, we've been talking about a lot of these late night activities, but I still see many people smoke in playgrounds and parks where people are out with their families. And this happens during daytime. And it's very difficult for the average person to go up to somebody else and tell them to stop smoking. People can be quite belligerent about things like that. So that part, I'm curious to see how they intend to enforce it, because during the day, again, you know, is it going to be effective to have people watching who's going to be the ones telling people, hey, you know, you're not allowed to smoke in these parks. Legally, you're not allowed to smoke here anymore. But yeah, it's definitely a great first step. Let us know what you think. If you have thoughts, you know, if you've seen this happening in the parks and playgrounds around you, let us know your experiences. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or, well, yes, those are the two ways that you can get in touch with us. We do need to take a quick break. but we'll be right back after the ads. But first, here's Smoke You Right Out of Here by David Kilgore and the Heavy Eights on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.